This is Ozarks at Large. Arkansas Republicans have, and soon officially will have, a historic majority control over both the Arkansas House and Senate at the state capitol. That means they may anticipate a clearer path to enacting their top political action items. But Arkansas Democrats, counting on some semblance of bipartisan compromise, are also expecting to push legislation they deem critical. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports on priorities set by a sampling of state political advocacy groups on both sides of the aisle heading into the 2013 legislative session.
While a fresh array of Arkansas lawmakers orient and prepare for the 89th General Assembly, key activists are also getting ready. Rich Huddleston is executive director of Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families based in Little Rock. They work to ensure that children and their families have the resources and opportunities to lead healthy and productive lives. His top legislative action item is Medicaid expansion.
So that the state doesn't have to move forward with drastic cuts in the state's current Medicaid program, which could restrict access and hurt health care for some vulnerable populations out there.
He's concerned because Arkansas's Medicaid program faces a projected $298 million shortfall starting next summer because of a decrease in federal funding due to economic growth in this state. The Fed matches the state's Medicaid budget 3-1. So to fix it, Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe has proposed a formula adjustment, as well as cutting, among other things, coverage for certain low-income adults, the adult dental care program, and skilled nursing care for certain able-bodied elders. But if Arkansas chooses, or rather the newly seated Arkansas General Assembly votes to fully deploy the new Federal Affordable Health Care Act law, again, AACF Director Rich Huddleston.
Of course, one thing that's on the table right now is to extend health care coverage. It's a new option for the state to extend health care coverage for low-income adults up to 138% of the poverty line. There's new federal money to do that, and based on an analysis that DHS did, if we move forward with that extension to that population, it's actually going to save the state $372 million during the first 6 years of the Medicaid extension, and that, of course, would help our Medicaid budget crisis at the same time.
So under the Affordable Care Act, Medicaid could help an additional 250,000 Arkansans. But for this to happen, both the Arkansas House and Senate must issue a three-quarters majority vote. By the way, the new health care law requires all Americans to have some form of medical insurance starting in 2014 via Medicaid, their workplace, or individually through state-operated pools, referred to as health benefits exchanges. The second top legislative action item for the Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families is education. Rich Huddleston.
I'm expanding our investment in quality early childhood education, investing in quality after school and summer programs, school-based health programs, strategies that the research is pretty clear really works to help improve educational opportunities and success for low-income and disadvantaged students.
Another group with an intense interest in the legislative session is Arkansas Family Council, a conservative Christian education and research organization also based in Little Rock. Most recently, the Family Council campaigned successfully to block a statewide ballot initiative to legalize medical marijuana. Founder and executive director Jerry Cox said his first action item is ending abortion.
Arkansas needs to opt out of the abortion mandate in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Otherwise, we're going to be in violation of Amendment 68, which bans public funding of abortions. And I don't think the people of Arkansas want that.
So far, more than a dozen states have banned abortion coverage by their insurance exchange providers. Remaining states must offer a provider who doesn't cover abortion. Private insurers in pro-choice states will not be compelled to cover abortion. But with budget matters at the forefront of the next General Assembly, and a lack of a Republican majority on both the House and Senate Public Health Committees, pro-life advocates may be hard-pressed to get their measures out front. The other item the Arkansas Family Council will continue to push is improving the state scholarship lottery.
Now, most people know that we opposed the lottery really from the beginning. But now that we have it, we think it ought to be run responsibly. And I think that having the lowest percentage for scholarships of any state in the nation is absolutely disgraceful. They shouldn't even be calling it a scholarship lottery when 80 cents of every lottery dollar goes somewhere other than the scholarships. So we'd like to see that amount raised to at least the national average of 31 cents on the dollar. If they'll do that, they'll have plenty of money to fund the existing scholarships and, in fact, offer more.
Our third group, the Arkansas Public Policy Panel, based in Little Rock, is a statewide organization dedicated to achieving social and economic justice by organizing citizen groups around the state. Organizer Peyton Rose lives in Damascus in Faulkner County, the epicenter of the state's lucrative shale gas industry.
Actually, we've narrowed it down to one, which is a landowner's bill of rights.
Peyton Rose says the bill would benefit both industry and property owners.
All of them, all landowners, should have adequate setbacks between drill sites and homes, drill sites and lakes and all streams. Also, it's very important that gas developers use best management practices or a guide according to best management practices to protect land, air, water. Also, accurate information about their rights to landowners as surface or mineral right owners, an adequate notice, full disclosure of all gas development activities on property.
In addition, the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality, which monitors surface water extraction and disposal by the gas industry, will ask legislators for additional money to increase the number of inspectors on its staff. And our last advocacy group is the Citizens First Congress, comprised of 57 member organizations across the state. A Northwest Arkansas caucus of the Citizens First Congress was recently convened in Fayetteville, hosted by the Omni Center for Peace, Justice, and Equality. Director Gladys Tiffany said they will be monitoring the rollout of Governor Mike Beebe's new Arkansas energy plan.
Things like biofuels and solar and conservation issues that would be upgrading school buildings and the buildings that state owns and making energy efficient and saving a lot of money for the state by doing that, I think are some things that are going to be really, really important. So we're really looking forward to being able to support whatever the governor proposes and are looking forward to seeing exactly what he comes up with.
Implementing energy efficiencies and renewable energy policies, advocates say, will save consumers money, create jobs, and cultivate market certainty for clean energy investors in Arkansas. Gladys Tiffany said the Citizens First Congress will also advocate for creating an Arkansas Civil Rights Commission.
Arkansas is one of only three states that do not have a Civil Rights Commission. And the advantage to that Civil Rights Commission is that whenever any kind of civil rights issues come up, and if we had a Civil Rights Commission in Arkansas, we would have this option to deal with a lot of these issues without having to engage the federal government.
Another member group of the Citizens First Congress is the Hispanic Women's Organization of Arkansas, which advances educational opportunities for Hispanic women and their families. And Executive Director Margarita Solorzano says she has one objective for state legislators this session.
We would like for them not to get distracted trying to pass immigration reform issues that are of federal powers.
Rather, the Hispanic Women's Organization of Arkansas supports enactment of a civil rights commission, as well as ratification of the ERA in Arkansas. It's been 40 years since the ERA was passed out of Congress. Requires 38 states to ratify to become the 28th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. 35 states have signed on so far, three short. Margarita Solorzano says if passed, the ERA would ensure that women have equal access to education, health care, jobs, and earnings.
And also to put Arkansas in a more competitive place in education and social issues.
While tax relief was mentioned by just one of our public policy advocates, Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe and certain Democratic legislators may work to reduce the state's grocery tax this session, while conservative legislators may seek to cut the state's income tax. State Republicans will have the advantage, given they have a majority on the state Senate Revenue and Taxation Committee. But just how conservative this new majority Republican legislature will act is anyone's guess. Just after the election, both Arkansas Republicans and Democrats pledged a cooperative and productive 2013 legislative session. And here's Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe addressing the Arkansas Chamber of Commerce a week after the general election.
It is incumbent on all of us to be able to reach common ground and to work together for the benefit of the people who are our bosses, because I have no doubt that Republicans and Democrats alike want to ensure that the people of Arkansas are properly represented, and that whatever gridlock may exist elsewhere in the country, that will not exist with our own people.
The regular session of the 89th Arkansas General Assembly will convene Monday, January 14th, 2013. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large, Sharon Killian talks about her latest artwork, currently on display in an exhibit at the Fayetteville Public Library. And just ahead, Roby Brock on the previous 7 days of business and politics in Arkansas.
It's believed that most young Americans infected by HIV don't know it. Now the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force wants a routine HIV test for every American between the ages of 15 and 65. Some worry, though, about the cost, others about privacy. I'm Neil Cunnan. Routine screenings for HIV, plus our weekly read of the opinion page. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.